Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have covered you for all your sports wagering needs. Basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, right to UCF and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today to use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
What's happening, everybody? Hold on, let me get my pom-pom.
Wait, oh.
It's always a pom-pom affair. Shake your pom. You shake your pom-pom? Did you? My pom-pom a little. Hold on, wait a minute. I need to get the ends clipped or something here. Anyway, I don't know this. I need to find another pom-pom. Welcome back. I'm your boy Terrell Key, aka T Reezy, Dunyell Walls, Toby Johnson. We are here, Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, the podcast. Make sure if you have not subscribed to the YouTube channel, hit the like button, hit the bell, turn on the notifications, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Cloud Spotify's, Cloud Play, whatever streaming device you get all your podcasts from, because we are on all of them. So we are back once again. Welcome. Hey, Danielle, what it do? What up, though?
What up? Do?
How y'all been? Y'all week been all right? Y'all been doing good? Y'all,
everything's y'all great, dude. How you doing, good, man?
I'm good. I can't complain. You know, just living the life. Life has been lifing as it always does. And I learned that life lifes every day of my life. See what I did right there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a kind of a poet a little bit, just a little bit.
Like almost an automatopoeia.
Almost an automatopoeia. Almost
doesn't count.
It'll be a haiku. Mm.
Yeah. So look, we back again. Toby normally come through with the crazy questions.
So like recently, I'm trying to come through like with whatever the guests we got, like to try to have a question that goes with their image and everything. But look, quick question right here. Mm-hmm. People been asking about it. Crab names that stuck. Like you may not even know their real name. And you might know their real name, but when you see them, you don't call them their real name. Crab names is stuck. I'm gonna start first. I thought about it. Oha.
And who's that?
Oha.
Who is
Oha? Bass drummer, Jackson State, mm-hmm. WT. Mm-hmm. Like people in his frat call him Oha. He's a Sigma. He's my frat brother. He's your frat
Oha,
brother.
Like Oha from coming.
From coming to America. Movie? Yeah.
Okay.
She's your queen. Yeah. But like, yeah, people don't know Oha's real name.
Because why would you? He looks just like him.
He does.
He does. Look, y'all remember, I did a skit one time for my birthday. I was like playing the Eddie Murphy character, Simi. Mm-hmm. No, Akeem. And I had the prince's look and all that. And then I switched over to the Oha character, but I didn't look like Oha. So Oha hit me up is like, dude, you should have called me to play that part. So I didn't think about that.
Dang.
Would have been perfect. I didn't think about that.
You just said Oha called you up. You didn't even say his real name. You said Oha called me up.
Right. You should have called me to play Oha. That's what Oha called you to.
Oha. He's been Oha longer than Oha on Coming to America been Oha.
He has been. His name is Clifton. What's his name? Clifton Murray.
Clifton Murray.
And he is from where? Danielle's area place of residence.
From the D.
What up, Doe?
Shout out to that Clifton.
All right, so crab name is stuck. Okay, so my crab brother's name is Mufasa. Let me tell you how he got
it.
Mufasa. So here's the crazy thing. Back in 1998, George Gaston, he's a mellophone player, he was an upperclassman. Of course, we were freshmen. He said over the summer, for some weird reason, he saw The Lion King. And he saw the whole Mufasa. And he said, somebody's name is going to be Mufasa, and I don't know who it's going to be. So then, of course, Eric and I, it's just the two of us. We come in, and George looks at me. He looks at Eric. He looks at me. He looked back at Eric, your name, Mufasa, and the rest is history. That's it. So it was the Mufasa. Ooh, got to get him out. It was just hilarious, man. Like, killed us. That's the story of Mufasa. So that's a name that stuck.
But people don't know who Mufasa's real name is. What is Mufasa's real name?
Eric. Williams.
Johnson.
Yes,
close enough. Johnson, Jenkins, Jameson,
William,
Jones,
they Watson, all James, Watson.
Brown.
Yeah, Brown. Yeah, yes, King. It's all the same. Yeah, Eric Johnson. And crazy, Eric and I have the same birthday too, which is crazy. Shout out to Eric. What up, player? That is funny. Crab name that stuck. Danielle, I know you probably, in the trumpet section, you guys had lots of people with lots of names that stuck, I'm sure.
Actually, no.
No?
No. None of our names stuck like that. Nah. But I know yours.
What? You know mine?
Not yours. Oh, okay. I mean, the French horn section, mellophone section. We had a ribbit. it stuck for Brandon some people. Cox, it didn't stick for like me. I think it stuck for upperclassmen.
Yeah. Ribbit.
There are lots. Mm. There are lots.
So here's the crazy though. And God rest his soul, great buddy of all of ours, Jermaine Dotson. I didn't know that Fufu, I thought Fufu was his nickname. I didn't know that that was his crab name because of like a dance or something. So that stuck, and he Trump funk. Do you know the story behind Fufu's name, don't you? I just know that it was a crab name that stuck with him because I thought it was his nickname when I came around.
Well, he had to do a dance with it, but no, I think I don't remember who named him. I can't really remember. I wouldn't want to say Dwayne Burge, but I'm not 100% sure. I just know his name, the crab name is Fufu is the short version of it. But there's a long extended like
something.
You know, I think it's funny because like when we were in the band hall, like before a trip, it would always take attendance. We didn't take attendance Monday through Friday, but we took attendance right before Game we took day. A trip. Right. Like, and they would name, you know, like, calling people by their government names. And we were like, who is that? Who is that? Oh, that's Fufu. Oh, yeah.
It's a ton of names. We would have to have some more people on that would remember this kind of stuff. The person that we got coming up, is this name, this name that kind of stuck with him, though?
Oh, it stuck with him. It stuck with him, you know? Everybody who's listening to this, y'all go ahead and put them names down in the
second, and it's the second one.
Oh, my God. See, like, I don't know the story of that. So I'm excited about this. Who's coming on, dude?
Hold on. Danielle, do me a favor, if you don't mind. Could you introduce who we got coming up? I'm gonna sit back and shake the pom pom. I'm gonna let you introduce, if you don't mind, man. I'm gonna sit back and take a swig. Yeah.
Okay, so we have coming up. We have Christopher Chalupa Herrero from New Orleans.
Oh, we got Chalupa.
Chalupa. What's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? So let me tell you something real funny before we get started. Normally, I try to do something in the beginning that's kind of related to who we got on. We had, I can't give it away, but I was looking for I have a wig that's like super duper long, kind of like how your hair is on your profile pic. I was trying to find that wig. I couldn't find it. And I didn't have time to like pull this out. It's not as long enough. It's not long enough. But anyway, man, what's up, Chalupa? What it do, man? How you doing, brother? Thank you for coming on, man. What's up with you?
What's up, baby? Thank you for having me on the show. Definitely a pleasure to be here with y'all, man. I'm doing blessed and highly favored right now.
Y'all hear that? Where he from?
I hear it.
He I'm is from the not city. From,
he is not from Detroit. He is not from California.
Not from
he
the
is
Jack.
Definitely not from Jackson, Mississippi. Sounds like some NOLA in there, baby. What's up?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm from the city, from New Orleans.
Straight up, man. You know
504 what? 504 till I meet you.
You know, New Orleans has a special place in all of our hearts.
Yes.
For several reasons that I could probably name. But major shout out to New Orleans. Who that in the house, just in case you didn't know.
Who that?
Who that in the house.
Said, hey, who that?
You should have worn a who that. No, I ain't got nothing. I don't have anything up here.
No, it's in the room.
So Chris, you should go ahead and introduce yourself, right? Let us know, let the viewers know. Name, crab year, instrument, where you from, and what you doing now.
Gotcha. Well, my name is Christopher Herrero. I'm the director of bands at Edna Carr High School, is what I do currently. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, born and raised, first generation Latino in my family. Played tuba, crab of 2004. What else supposed to say again?
You got a tuba dog on here, huh?
Yeah, we do.
Dog team for sure. All the way. Dog team.
That's nice. What's up.
Yeah.
So you said
I'm currently from New Orleans. I'm currently the director of bands at my high school alma mater, Edna Carr High School.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So oh my I God. went
I knew so you was there in the car, McCall. But I didn't know. Okay.
Wait. Yeah, I graduated from college, went to Jackson State, and came right back.
Oh, that's awesome.
I didn't know that. That's gotta be a really crazy feeling to go right back home where you started to bring what you learned at Jackson State back to your school, back to your alma mater. I did not know that.
Oh yeah, most definitely. It's definitely a funny journey. I was talking about this with some of my friends the other day. How I spent almost most of my adult life, most of my half of my life really, at the car, because when I was at Carr pre-Katrina, it was 7 through 12. Now, after Katrina, when all the schools had to go through a rebuilding stage and the whole city is charter schools now, became a straight 9 through 12 high school. So as soon as I graduated from Jackson State in 2010, I got hired August 2010, a week before school started off with 25 kids, and I've been there ever since. And it's been a blessing. And so I've spent half of my entire life at the same school.
Wow.
Man, so I over the years, we're gonna get into like boom stuff, but you just said something like, over the years I've seen all the stuff that you've been doing with the band, with your school, just the transition, but it's always just social media. And it's like every time, it's like every year you've like excelled in something. You've either won some type of competition, or you've gotten some big artist to come and perform, or you've had a crazy year, or your band went viral for blowing out somebody. Like, man, you've been like, you really like, even though your school was probably amazing when you left, where you were there when you left, but when you came back, you brought your creativity and your style to it, man. Like, how did that transition go from the boom, graduate, back home, bam? How did that work?
Well, I think everything happens for a reason. When I was job hunting, just what happens that when I went to a teacher hiring fair, I saw that my high school was there. And my then principal, he was my principal when I was in high school, he was there and he was looking for a band director. And so I applied, he remembered me. We chopped it up a little bit. I came back for an interview. I was a finalist along with Blake Gaines, actually. And so me and him were the two finalists for the job. Initially, they gave the job to him, but he only interviewed because he was waiting to get a call back from a college, which he did get a call back from a college. Then I got the call a week before school started, and the transition was the first year teaching is always rough. Any educators out there will tell you, your first year teaching is you're gonna take your licks, you're gonna get your bumps. But it was just the fact that I was back home. I had a bigger passion, a bigger drive, because it's the program that I came from. I started off with 25 kids, by the end of the year, I doubled it to about 49, 50 kids, and every year we've been just building it and growing it, and it's been fun. I've definitely taken all the lessons that I've learned, all the biggest influences that I've had, such as Dr. Liddell, all the band directors that during my time in the boom, they definitely influenced me a lot to make sure that, they helped me be what I am today as a band director, and I'm instilling those same values to my students now in the car.
Man, that's amazing, man. Mm-hmm. The boom does that. The boom, it teaches people to transition, to be able to come back and give back to your alma mater. Like most people, they'll leave the boom and they'll go to different places, different cities, different, states or whatever. They just go and they travel, they go to different programs. But man, to go back home, man, that's like really, really like heartfelt. Like I'm like, man, everybody don't want to go back home, but home is where the heart is. So man, I commend you for doing that, man. But that's amazing that you were able to transition into that. That was a cool little transition. Like you say, everything happened for a reason. I definitely could dig that.
Man, New Orleans is a great city to transition back to, though. It's so much fun. It's so much funk. It's so much, artistic, collaborations and everything that's going on. I was looking at some YouTubes of you and your band just at the beginning of a game, a home game, and y'all playing We Came to Play, and y'all playing the Star Spangled Banner. You named a couple of band directors that has influenced you. But like, I see you doing your own thing. I've never seen, you know, Dr. Liddell, you know, vibing with the band.
Wait,
tell me about your, like, how does that work, man? Like, cause the youth, right? Cause I work in education, and the youth, they see fakeness like from afar, but they vibe with you. Like they have a connection with you. How do you build that connection with your students, man?
Well, you're right. You know, when you're, think about when you were a student, you could tell when mm-hmm. somebody was being fake. Even us as adults, you could tell when somebody's real and somebody's on their BS, mm-hmm. right? So honestly, just coming to the job, you got to go in there with a good heart, with pure intentions, with a lot of love, and make sure the kids know that. You got to have that love and have the kids build a rapport with the band, with the kids, and know that you're there for them. And the kids sense the genuineness. They know what's real, what's fake. And I don't know, just got to let yourself and your personality speak for itself. As a bandwidth, you got to sell yourself, because you're always on performance mode. Every single time you step on the podium, every time you step in front at a football game, at a parade, at a battle of the bands, you got to sell yourself to the students. And you got to sell that vision to the students to believe in them, because you got to believe in them. You have to really truly believe in them, because this job is not about you as a director. It's about them as the kids. Mm-hmm. And I think when people realize that, that's when you will be successful, that it's not about you as a director. That doesn't matter. You had your time in the spotlight to play your instrument. It's about educating the next generation of musicians. Pour all you have into them. And I mean, the kids can sense if it's real, if it's fake. And you know, that's how we vibe. Like those are my kids. You know, that's my family. I treat them like family.
Boy, I need a round of applause on that. Right? I mean, that button.
Round of applause. So, Toby, I don't want to jump too far. So, sorry, Chalupa. Thought process. That's something that it seems like the way that you spit that out just then, that seemed like something that you were not taught after you left Jackson State. That sounds like something that was instilled in you years and years ago. I'm talking maybe middle school, high school, college, kind of, you know what I'm saying? Because it sounds like you went into the job in 2010, make sure I got the year right. It sounds like you went to the job already with that mind frame. Like, was that the case? Or was that something that was some training? You went to a professional development and learned that?
Nah, I gotta agree with you. That's something that I had my mind on. When I was in college, Hurricane Katrina happened. I was already a music ed major, but when Katrina happened and it devastated the whole educational system here in New Orleans, you didn't see a lot of schools open back up. You didn't see a lot of band programs anymore. And the ones that were coming around right in that post-Katrina era, there weren't many that were very, very, very good. So when Hurricane Katrina happened, that just strengthened my resolve to be a music educator, made me want to work harder to make sure I got my degree and give back to my city, because my city needed that, somebody that cared about the kids. And so I saw it as my duty to help everybody in my community. Even now, even though I'm a band director at one school, I do communicate with other kids around the city to make sure they get the help that they need if they reach out, because it's not about just me and my school. It's about making sure our whole city of New Orleans comes up as a whole.
Nice. Did you, Chris, have a mentor, like in your band directors in college? Were you able to find a mentor in any of your instructors or any of the band directors?
So I did have a very nice relationship, a good relationship with Dr. Liddell. Well, then Mr. Murray, now Dr. Murray. Dr. Ware was somebody I spoke well with, Mr. Hollinger as well. I just gravitated to all my instructors and really try to soak up as much knowledge from them as possible. And Mr. Taylor as well, Mr. Dowell Taylor, took up a lot of knowledge from him. I just try to learn as much as I could from every instructor that I had. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you right now, probably the biggest influence to me was Dr. Lewis Liddell. He really was like a father, well, grandfather figure to me. I'm always inspired by Dr. Liddell. He's one of my biggest inspirations professionally.
Nice. Yeah. What inspired you about Doc? Like, what inspiration did you gain from Doc? I mean, it's probably vast, right? But
yeah, it's pretty vast. Just he was just so knowledgeable. I know when he got in front of the band, he gave his motivational talks. You know, the whole band got you know, turned up. I'm like, hell yeah, Doc, and all that, right? But beyond that, people didn't realize how much of a genius Doc Liddell really is. He's so knowledgeable. Like, he's somebody that pulled me to the side and spoke to me, trying to make sure my grades were on point. Him and Dr. Murray as well, because Dr. Murray also had a big hand in trying to make sure I graduated on time as well. But Dr. Lewis Adele, he just made sure that I was on top of my stuff. I remember one time he brought me into his office. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. My first semester as a college freshman, I had a horrible GPA. I tell my students all the time, make sure you go to class and do your assignments. Because, I mean, I did
you're that. You're out there on the plaza. You out there on the plaza, wasn't you? You out there on that plaza. You out there on that plaza, weren't you?
We're going to pause it.
Frozen.
2214.
We're going to click back in.
2210.
Oh. Hey, and I can see, okay, and bam. So I can see the timer, and ironically, it's right over my head.
Chris.
Running.
Hold on, it's froze.
He dropped out.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, all right.
He when he get back, re-ask that question.
Donnie, ask the question.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, we back. I'm back. All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay. All
right.
Yeah. You remember where you were?
I was talking about how I had a bad GPA.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Start back.
All right. So boom. My freshman year, my first semester away from home, away from my parents. You know, high school was always easy to me, so I thought I could just finesse my way through my classes, right? I wasn't being a responsible young adult. You know, I was just not going to class, right? But I had a horrible GPA. It was below a 2.0, and so I lost my band scholarship that semester. So I had a so in the spring, Dr. Dell put me into his office, and Dr. Dell and Mr. Murray had quite a few words for me. And so he was asking me, son, what's wrong with you? Is it you got a D in English? Is it because are you having trouble with English, son? Because of course I'm Latino, and so I didn't want to
stop right there. Stop.
So I'm done.
I'm through. Stop.
You ain't gonna
don't do that.
Look, he was fussing. No. Like, all right, like let me elaborate. So he was fussing for a long time, and I was like, I couldn't give any straight answers. And so he was like, oh, son, why do you have these grades going through all my classes one by one? And he kept on fussing me. He asked me questions now. Like, I didn't know why. I couldn't have no concrete answers. So he was like, son, you have a D in English. Is it because of the English? And because I didn't want to get fussed, like, yeah, it might be because of that, Doc. Maybe I just had trouble with English. And then so him and Mr. Murray were talking. And then it hit Doc. He was like, wait. Son, you went to honors college, and you have a 28 in the reading part of the ACT.
I'm what?
Like, yeah, Doc. I'm thinking in my head like, how the hell does he remember this? I'm
like, and Doc so, is like, not he, stupid,
right? He's not. And so, like, it was that moment where, like, damn, I cannot BS this man. All right, let me just say, like, Doc. Now, like, Doc, I'm gonna be real. I was just not going to class, not doing my work. I thought I could just BS my way through it. And so he fussed at me. Then that spring semester, I worked my behind off to get my GPA up. And because I came in 2004. And then 2005, going into my sophomore year, Hurricane Katrina happened. And I didn't have to ask for my scholarship back because fortunately, but unfortunately, because of the storm, the government just paid for school for all of us from New Orleans. But I did get my scholarship back. I got my GPA up. I got my scholarship back. But if it wasn't for somebody like Dr. Dell getting on me and helped me realize that I can't BS the system, I can't finesse the system, I wouldn't be where I am today. He's one of those major influences. And even still after that, even as I was approaching my final year in college, he was asking me, what are my plans? Am I going to go to grad school? Am I going to start teaching? He kept on giving me all kinds of advice, telling me a whole lot of stories from his days when he was a student and stuff like that. So that's why I love Dr. Dell so much. He's such a huge father figure in my eyes. And I'm just inspired by him and everything that he does. Just his knowledge, the way he motivates everybody,
just when he talks, I get chills down my spine. I'm ready to crank up on tuba again.
Man. Wow, man, you got a whole story right there. That's wild, but that's, you know, I bet you a lot of us went through some similar things like that when it comes to like grades and GPA, because it's so much pressure. If you on a band, I was on a band scholarship. My GPA was right at the tip. The second semester, so freshman year, it was fine. But my spring year, my spring freshman year, that bad boy did this right here.
Oh, it was, Chris is froze, by the way. But froze. Yeah, okay. It was the opposite for me. My GPA in the fall was trash. Really? And I pulled that boy up, yeah, in the spring.
Yeah. So I'm learning something. There you go. Bam, pop, look at it.
There you go, bam.
I'm right good, man. Yourself.
Cause so we live.
Cause we are live. Hold on. All right, okay. See, that's the tuba part right there. See? Ooh, you were right on it. Where you go? No, you know what? My trumpet. It's still in the same place it was the last. It was in the same place. It's in the same place it was the first episode. So, Chris, man, we back on here, man. You back? Thank you for coming back, man. I don't know what we were talking about, but whatever it was really, really interesting. And then the technology world said, but. We, you know, two heads are better than one. Three heads are better than four. No? Four heads are better than three? Kind of. I'm just making this up as I go. So, but we're back.
Chalupa, man, like, you're not the first Chalupa in the boom. So, like, either, like, people were not creative and coming up with a new name.
No, I'm going to tell you what it was. I'm going to tell you what it was. I've had the name nickname Chalupa since like, 1999. 2000. Yeah, uh-huh. So that's carried over from my time at Carl. So when I got to Carl was 7-12, like I told y'all. At first, I played a woodwind instrument. Then I transferred to baritone my A grade year, and that's when they were calling me every name in the book.
Every Hispanic name.
Every stereotypical name, and Chalupa was the one that stuck, you know. And so that's the one that stuck, and people kept on calling me that. Ninth grade, I transferred. I finally got on tuba, and people just knew me as Chalupa. So I've been known as Chalupa for a long time, since like 1999.
So what happened when you met Chalupa, WT Chalupa?
Part one.
Daniel Canales. Yes. So I met him. Hey, what's up? What's up? You know? it was there. It wasn't nothing. I remember my first day in the boom, you know, your first day at band camp, you know, you got to play something and introduce yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I played Stars and Stripes, on tuba, boom, put-a-dum, 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 all that. And then I say, how y'all doing? My name is Christopher Herrero. Awesome. Y'all can call me Chalupa. I played tuba from New Orleans, sat down, you know, so my whole crab class, they called me Chalupa. And then one of the drum majors during the feeding times, lunch, breakfast, I don't know, it was a long band camp. They said, you know, you got another Chalupa, huh? Like, okay, that's fine, but my name's Chalupa. So I don't care. You call me what you want. My name's Chalupa. And everybody just called me Chalupa. And it carried over from high school, well, pre-high school, to college and beyond. And to this day.
So hold on. Let's get this straight. So is Chalupa your crab name?
One of them.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Aha.
I mean, I got two. So, like, yeah. Like you got to choose one of yours.
I got two. Yeah, I got two.
Yeah, I got called a couple. whatever it was, I don't remember it all.
Oh yeah,
because I was
don't say the bad ones.
Yeah, we'll do it offline for the bad ones.
Yeah. Right.
Wow. Okay. So I always thought so. That's crazy. It's a crazy story. See, I learned so much by doing this, and I hope everybody's learned. I thought Chalupa was just your crab name. I didn't know that was like a nickname that came from New Orleans with you. I didn't know that's cool. So so now I see why you're the same. So you're really the original Chalupa in name fashion. And then Darren's Chalupa was his crab name.
Daniel. I said Daniel. Daniel. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Daniel's name was his crab name. I assume. I don't know. Maybe.
You're starting controversy. Like, they're both Chalupa.
I am. They're both Chalupa. I'm messing this up.
We love them both.
We do. I'm just trying to see timing.
that's my guy, Daniel. Daniel's a good guy, bro. That's my dude.
Oh, yeah.
So look, talented musician as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
Check this out. So this question was asked. I feel like it was, or maybe not. How did you get to Jackson State University, sir?
Well, you know, in New Orleans, initially all we know is Southern and Grambling because of the Bayou Classic. Mm-hmm. And so I believe it or not, Jackson State was not even on my mind until my senior year. I used to be anti anything that wasn't popular in New Orleans, right? And Jackson State was not popular in New Orleans at that time. But I was just at that point, well, up until my senior year, I just knew what New Orleans knew. But my senior year, a good friend of mine who marched with me at In the Car, Jared Groves, who also went to the Bone, was a drum major at Jackson State. You know, his parents took me and a couple of other friends to the Boombox Classic. It was in Jackson. That was my first time seeing Jackson State in person. Then for the Boombox Classic at that. And when I tell you, it just blew my mind. I never heard a band just come with it with that musicality and that much power. And there was they gave Southern that L, man. They smashed Southern that year. And so, like, that changed my mind. And then I was sitting by the tubas. And, of course, Southern tubas, they was poo. So being next to Jackson State tubas, I was like, oh my gosh, like I gotta be by them, you know. And so that game really opened my mind and helped me look at other schools besides Southern and Grambling as to where I could go. And I remember they had a college audition fair my senior year, and Jackson State was gonna be there, and they had other colleges there. I was, you know, Texas Southern, Miles, everybody was there. But Dr. Liddell was a little bit late to the thing. But when he came through, people saw him and everybody followed him like he was Moses. And he was just like, everybody just followed him like he was Moses guiding his people to freedom, right? And so, man, he gave me one of the most thorough auditions ever. And from there on out, you know, I was waiting for my scholarship letter to come in. It took a while to come in, but it came in on my graduation day, my senior year. And that was a sign that that's where I had to be. And so I just chose Jackson State. Out of all the colleges, I just chose Jackson State. And I felt like I was meant to be there. I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason. And I was at Jackson State for a reason. Because had I not been at Jackson State, I wouldn't have majored in music. Had I chose one of my other options, I probably would have majored in something else. Mm-hmm. But I would have met the people that I've met in my life. I wouldn't have met the families and had an impact on my community the way like I would have wanted to if it wasn't for me being at Jackson State and me being a music ed major, meeting great people like you guys.
Chalupa, hey, man, I appreciate that.
Chalupa, how important are those people that you met while at Jackson State?
That's my family. That, I mean, like, I'm gonna say family a lot because that's sound almost like a Fast and Furious movie, family. But like that's how much music meant to me. Like my brothers and sisters that I met in the Boom, like we still keep in contact to this day. We have a crab group chat on Facebook that we communicate every now and then. You know, sometimes it's popping during football season mostly. You know, we're in each other's city. We holler at each other. You know, especially my brothers that I played tuba with, we keep in contact to this day. Every single minute that we can. So they're very important. I think a lot of people that are in the Boom, they have that similar experience having that connection, that family connection. I mean, if he was in the Boom, you know what it is.
Straight up. Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's the deal right there. Like, boom, you in the Boom. So like when we do these, we have these shows, we having these conversations with people from the Boom, it's like, And I say this every show, everybody has a similar story, some kind of way, shape, form, or fashion. And it's like the mere fact is just like I think about my crab brothers and crab sisters, Toby and Danielle. We 20 plus years in the game.
25. 20
plus. I said exact. 20 plus. I wasn't trying to put the number
know,
on
but
it.
You know,
20 plus.
The comments, they be like, y'all can add.
But 20 plus years. But no, man, but it's super cool, man, for us to all just, you know, still have that connection, that camaraderie. You know, we can call each other, lean on each other, because we are family, for real. Like, literally, like even though we didn't march together, Chris, like, I look at you as family. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's Chalupa right there. Yeah, I know him. He marched in the boom. He dog team. And that's it. Like, I know who you are because of, you know, I know because you family. You know what I'm saying? So it's. It runs so deep, that boom history and that family runs so deep.
It does, even to this day. You know, I'll talk to some of the current members in the boom, and, you know, we'll have conversations, or some of them might reach out to me, ask me this question, you know, as much knowledge as I can, because all you can do is pay it forward, because, I mean, what are we going to do with that knowledge? Once we're gone, right? You got to give that knowledge to the next generation so they can keep on passing it on, and keeping that rich boom tradition and legacy alive.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. That's awesome, that is crazy, man. Go ahead, Danielle. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just sitting, I'm listening to what he's saying, and it's like more of like confirmation for what we've gone through and what we've done with the boom, just years of marching the boom, 4, 5 years, 6 years, whatever. And then after boom life. So I got something for you, Chris. So like, how has after boom life been for you? Like, you marched in the boom, graduated, went on to do a career. So how is after boom life? Like, do you think about, you know, man, I wish I had like 4 more years of this? Or do you think about, okay, man, what can I do? Like, marching the alumni band and perform, like, what's after boom life for you? Or how does that look? How does it look for you?
Well, I'm still involved in band life, so no, I don't miss marching. I'm gonna tell you that. Well, I do miss it at times because it was fun, but I did my time. I marched 5 years, so my fifth year when I was head section leader. Towards the end of that season, I was like, man, this is really tiring. I'm starting to get a little bit worn out a little bit. Mm-hmm. I did what I had to do. Is, you know, everybody has their time. I did everything that I could accomplish at Jackson State. I marched as a regular band member. I was section leader. I was even in the Tigers, in the Wavy Dave Tiger suit for a commercial one time. So I did everything I could. Yeah.
Man, we need that link. I need that link.
I never saw the commercial. It was for some bank. I forgot what it was. You have to ask either Kevin.
Bank of America had to every Magnolia Federal.
It was, yeah.
Wasn't it Bancorp South? It was the bank that's on campus.
Oh,
it might have been. It might have been. But we have to ask that squad from OE. Kevin, Jared Groves, Avery Sanders. Who was the fourth person on that squad?
Mr. White and Green.
Okay.
Bancorp South. I remember that.
Yeah, but we had did a commercial. I was in the Tiger suit. I got a picture with me inside of the Tiger suit.
Through the drive.
You got a picture? The drive through. Yeah.
It's a video. It was a real commercial. It was an actual commercial.
I want to see it. I need to see it. We need to find that commercial. Or, Chris, if you got a picture of you in the Tiger suit, we need it. Because
I'll send it to you.
I never seen it. Send it to us, man. I want to see that.
Man.
Wow. Man, you all around.
Hey, Chalupa, yeah, Chris. I don't know which. Chalupa. We're going with Chalupa now.
Yeah.
Hey, like, in closing and wrapping this up, though, like, you know, something that, like, to stay consistent in talking to you. And like I said, what we enjoy about this podcast the most is us being able to connect with people, like, that we know. But, like, we didn't march with them. And, you know, we don't have, like, you know, weekly conversations. And we're not going through life with them. But we, like, these are people that we respect and we admire. And we want to make sure that we give them their flowers and everything that they're doing. And we're proud of you and everything that you're doing at Edna Carr. However, like, a repeating, you know, main idea in everything that you've been talking about today, a key word that's been popping up to me is just your loyalty. You know, like, you know, graduating from Edna Carr, going to Jackson State, then coming back to Edna Carr, you know, after Katrina, you know, wanting to be able to build this program, initially having 25 students, growing at the 50, growing at to what we see right now. When I'm looking at you guys on YouTube, man, you got a killer program. You're doing a great job, and you're influencing lives, and you're showing them things, these students things they have never seen before, they could never imagine. So like, you breathing life into these students. So that key word I have is like loyalty. What made you a loyal person?
I don't know. You got me there. I don't know. I believe in doing right by people. You know, if you do right by people, I think everything's gonna fall into place. If you don't do right by people, how can you call yourself a decent human being? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's just my thing. Do right by people. Because the world needs more love. You know, the world is crazy enough as it is right now, especially post pandemic. So much crazy things going on in the world. So you gotta just do right by people, be loyal to people, be genuine with people. And that's what I expect from people. I would want to be treated with loyalty and respect. So I do that in turn to other people, put it out there to the universe. So it'll be more good love and positive vibes in the universe.
What do you gotta say to, yeah.
No, I'll say you need to be cloned. You need to be cloned. You need to get some more use in this world. Go ahead.
We got two chalupas. We need like five.
We need five. We need more chalupas in the world.
We need more chalupas.
We need more chalupas in the world.
We need more chalupas in the world. I said it here. We need more chalupas in the world.
We do. We do.
I got a closing question. Toby, I saw you had a question, but I have a closing.
No, you got it. Go ahead and do that thing, man.
Last question, right? Your dog team, you're a section leader, you marched 5 years. What was the best section while you were in the band? Out of your five.
The best section in the band?
It was the best year.
Oh, 08. The great 08. Man, that was just a legendary year for the band, period. Ain't no band, ain't no Boom Edition messing with the great 08. I'm telling you that right now. We had the tubas on, the whole band was just balanced. Like, that was the best trump funk.
Who was band director that way?
That was actually the last year before he retired.
Okay, I knew there was some kind of way. 08, 9, 10 was running together in my head, but go ahead. I'm sorry, you said 08 was the great 08 is what y'all call it. Okay,
yeah, the great 08, yeah, like most of us, like it. Hell yeah, look, I gotta put that out there. Most of us, 04s, we marched the fifth, and so we put a lot of love and blood, sweat, and tears to that program. And it just, everything came together in 08. It was a very balanced band. It was a very fun band. I had the most fun in my life marching in that band program.
Doc waited to his retired year to let 50 people march.
Y'all gave Doc and myself like our flowers for sure for that last year, that 08.
And that's why I called Danielle Miss Walls, because she was on staff with it.
Right.
Walls. Miss Walls.
That's me. That's what they called me.
Man, okay, that's crazy. That is the great. I never heard. That's my first time hearing that. The Great 08. So shout out to the Great 08.
Shout out, man. Great 08.
Shout out to the Great 08. 08 in the building. Man, listen, Chris Herrero, thank you once again, man, for coming on. Thank you for sharing your stories, man. So I'm going to say this like I tell everybody to come on. We really need to do a part two. For everybody that we have on, we really need to do a part two, because I know it's so much more stuff that you can share, plenty more stories, more Boom stories, just things that you have going on, things that you've done, just stuff, just the whole transition coming from, you know, you say you first generation, you know, coming from in the car, coming from New Orleans, then going back. So it's kind of like there was like a pipeline, like you sent kids from New Orleans to the Boom. I know you did. So like that pipeline and then that connection, like that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother vibe, man. But man, shout out to you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep grinding, man. And we're gonna wrap this up, man. Appreciate you. Do you have any parting words, any last few remarks, statements that you want to just put out there to the the universe, my good sir? Shout outs or whatever. We're gonna wrap it up.
Man, I definitely want to shout out everybody that's part of the Boom family, because it's an exclusive club that not everybody could be a part of. For whether you're marching the Boom back in the 70s, in the current 20s,
or any in the future. Definitely want to give a huge shout out to them. Stay blessed. Huge shout out to Dr. Louis Liddell, because he is definitely one of my biggest inspirations and role models as far as being a band director and being an overall good person. Shout out to my everybody that I know, because I don't want to name specifics, because then people are going to say, you forgot me.
Go ahead and say your crab here. Say your crab here right now. Shout out to
the shout out to the crabs of Old Folk. You hear me? Shout out to my city, New Orleans. Shout out to just everybody. Look, everybody stay blessed. Put out good vibes. Love into the world and all that good stuff. And stay prayed up.
Dang.
Man, wonderful. Thank you, man.
Terrell, we had Chalupa and his hair.
Yes, come on, Tresson.
Gotta let it out too. You gotta
hold on. I gotta take these.
It's a Vidal Sassoon.
Hey man, this was fun, man. So y'all, hey, I thank y'all for tuning in once again. Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, the podcast. This is Band Sessions with the Boom. We had the great Christopher Chalupa Herrera.
Chalupa.
Terrell Key, aka T Reason, Dunya Wild, Toby Johnson. We signing out once again. I'm gonna shake my pom pom like always. Until next time. Hopefully there will be a next time. Peace out.
Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club is presented by Bet Online.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.